Hello and welcome to episode 5 of the podcast. My name is Anna.
And I'm Eva.
And today we have an episode about trade unions in Poland. We kind of came up with the idea for this episode around May Day. We're kind of researching trade unions in Poland, looking at the state of unions and thinking about why they've declined so much over the past few decades, but also wondering, you know, whether there's any signs of hope, whether there's any signs that this trend is starting to reverse. So I'm sure we'll be talking about all of this and much more. And we have two amazing guests. Do you want to introduce yourselves and who you are and what you do?
So maybe I'll start. Hi, I'm Maciek. I'm an economist, a researcher from Jagiellonian University in Krakow. I study global political economy, but also degrowth and macroeconomics. And I'm also a unionist in the Workers' Initiative trade union in Poland.
Hello, my name is Katarzyna, and I work for the All Poland Alliance of Trade Unions. I am responsible for social policy and labor market. I have written two books about working conditions in Poland. The books focus on working conditions in global corporations and in cleaning services.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you so much, both, for your time, for bearing with us during our technical difficulties, because we're recording remotely today, as you're both currently based in Poland. So I guess a general question to start with, like, from your experience, Kasia and Maciek, like, what is the state of trade unions in Poland currently?
From my experience is that it's very dynamic, first of all, meaning that many new unions are starting up in different branches, in different companies or in public sector. And there is also at the moment high militancy, I would say, at least in Polish context and compared to previous years, that we see many protests and even strikes.
I agree that trade unions are strong. Stronger in public sector in Poland, including OPZZ. The OPZZ has 7 branches, and including mines and energy, industry, education, and trade union, which is very active in education, is one of the biggest trade unions. Public sector is still from many years a place where trade unions may exist.
Yeah, maybe I would just add to what Kasia said that previously I said it's dynamic, but perhaps we need to say to the audience in Great Britain that in general, trade unions are not that large and popular in Polish economy at large, and that the rate of unionization is pretty small, as in particular in private sector. So there has been a lot of changes in recent years, but still, compared to, for instance, some Western Europe economies, unions are relatively small and weak.
Yeah, according to the research we've done, trade union density in Poland is at around like 12-13%. So it's one of like maybe 1 in 8, 1 in 9 workers in Poland are unionized. That compares to a European average of 23%. That compares to nearly 1 in 4 in the UK, which is still a low number compared to previous decades. At the same time, you know, union density in Poland is higher than, for example, in France. So it's like definitely not the lowest in Europe, but it is still quite low, although there are some signs that in recent years that's starting to change, that has ticked upwards slightly.
Yes, I think that can be quite surprising for English listeners, bearing in mind our history of solidarity movement. So probably we will be able to maybe ask some questions around that later. How did it happen that we now have such low density at around 13%? And can we maybe speak about, yes, like the biggest unions you already mentioned, the ones that you are most involved with, and also how are they like politically, maybe?
I can start. I have mentioned about the trade union, which is active in education. The main principle of this trade union is to change the way that society perceive teachers, and as well as they gain to change working conditions. I think that you have heard about the teachers that went on a strike many years ago.
2019, wasn't it?
Yes. And it was one of the biggest strike, teachers' strike in Poland after 1990. This strike was the reason of this strike were changes that were provided by the government that were not acceptable by this trade union, but by many trade unions in education. But it wasn't as successful as everybody, as many people expected that it may be, because of including the government response to this strike. And maybe I would start with that.
Yeah, I remember in 2019 kind of following the news, and it was a big cultural moment as well. You know, there were like fundraisers organized a teacher strike, like there were like little like student solidarity actions. Reminded me a bit of when there is like UCU, the University College Union strikes in the UK, and a lot of university students organize all kind of creative actions. But also, unfortunately, in recent years, despite a lot of enthusiasm for the strikes among students and among kind of wider community, not seen a huge amount of success, right?
Yes, and I think also what you mentioned, Katarzyna, about the kind of how unionizing is perceived in Poland. Mm-hmm. I also remember seeing quite a lot of people not being very supportive of teachers in general. Just like in a wider society, it seemed like a lot of people were a bit kind of annoyed almost that they are not not working, which obviously the disruption was the point. But certain people kind of like felt this is not necessary, right? And I guess that strike was a culmination of many years of teachers kind of trying to fight for their rights and also higher salaries, since they're very low paid in Poland, even in comparison to other European countries, I think.
Yes, and I need to mention that more women than men work in education, and yes, the mm-hmm. salaries are lower generally in public sector than in private sector, and including education.
Yes, I believe I've seen the statistics as well that in terms of like teachers, there's much more women, but in like more managing positions, kind of like principals, they usually men. So there's that disparity as well, right?
Classic, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I also remember, like, if we use a kind of teacher strike as an example, I remember there was some division among, I think there was three unions involved in the strike, but one of them kind of I think it was actually Solidarność, kind of gave up quicker than the other ones. So maybe it's an interesting point to kind of talk about, like, the politics of the different unions and, like, what their differences are, like, which ones are maybe closer to the government. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, so maybe I'll take now the voice. So they are essentially three large unions in Poland. So there is Opposite Z, one where Kasia works, and the largest teachers union is part of it as well. And there is Solidarity, which is another large union, also mostly organized in public sector, not only. And another one, there is Forum of Trade Unions. But the Solidarity is like, I would say, most open politically, that in the way that it's close to the government and to the ruling party, the right wing Law and Justice Party. So at times this works different in time. At times they are able to make some concessions from the government, but quite often they also work hand with the government and against the workers' movement at large. So this is one of the perhaps problems that this union is very important in terms of size, but also it's very political in this partisan way, right? In this partisan connections.
Mm. Yeah, I think that's really interesting because, in the UK, trade unions are generally associated with the political left. And, it's not that uncommon to see trade union banners, not just at protests about pay and conditions, but also, for example, at, Palestine solidarity demos or recently Solidarity Ukraine or, any kind of progressive causes, whereas I feel like that will be more surprising to see in Poland. Would you agree with that? Or do you think there are some unions that are kind of more actively progressive on other issues as well?
Yes, Solidarity is definitely closer to the government than the other trade unions. And the OPZZ that I represent, I can say that we are much more progressive than the Solidarity. For example, the OPZZ was in full solidarity with all the women.
Yeah, that was like a beautiful show of solidarity, I remember. Mm. During the women's strikes, a number of unions putting out solidarity statements, and also kind of workers more informally, right? There was a coordination of like drivers for women, like I think postal workers did something, like various kind of groups of workers organizing for a struggle that is seen as like traditionally seen as like something else, like it's not a workers issue, but actually a lot of these things are connected, right? They affect everyone.
Yeah, like my union on the contrary, Workers' Initiative, it's declares that it's an independent union. It was started in 2002, so 20 years ago, to build some alternative to these large unions. We are not like close to any political party, but from time to time on some vital occasions we cooperate with some parties on the left. And also we are quite involved in some political issues beyond the working place. So in particular, we work together with social movements in the women's rights, but also in the fields of housing, for instance, and other social issues. So yeah, this is this idea that that workers that we are all the we all are workers, but so we need to fight for our rights in the working place first and foremost, but also we have our lives and we need to fight for the rights in other spheres of our existence.
Can you just say which industries your union is concentrated in and maybe like what's the demographics? Is it mostly younger workers? Mm-hmm. Is it gig economy? Like what's your specialty?
Well, it's quite diverse. It started in the private sector in industrial plants in Poznań. It also has like anarcho-syndicalist origins from anarcho-syndicalist community in Poznań. But now it in recent years in particular it expanded to diverse industries. So just recently in March we had our Congress in Warsaw, and we had people from from private sector, from for instance logistics in Amazon. We have a very large union in the industry manufacturing, but also in public sector like universities, like schools, or culture sector. This is perhaps also a very important one. In terms of age, perhaps it's more skewed towards young people, and also we have many members from older generations. But even taking a look at our like central bodies, this is mostly people around their 30s, maybe 40s. So from these younger generations.
Thank you. Yes, I'm kind of following what your union is doing, and I feel like it's quite interesting actually that because in Poland it's not very much associated, like trade unions and trade unionists are usually older, I think, but in your union it's kind of visible that it's younger people that are more involved. I don't know, correct me if I'm wrong, but that's the picture I kind of got. But also just out like listening to what we were saying, and like we've mentioned, like let's say three big trade unions, it's very interesting that Solidarność, as obviously the one that is so historically famous, turned out to be so weak and like does not really have political kind of sharpness to it at all. No,
well, it kind of does, right? Like a leadership of Solidarność is coming out with homophobic statements, on many social issues, actually actively siding with the government, which is kind of heartbreaking to see. But yeah, do you have any like ideas why this happened?
According to me, for many members of Solidarity, it's not acceptable that the trade union is so close to the government. I know, and members of the Solidarity know that as well, that thanks to this cooperation, they could provide many progressive laws for workers, but this cooperation has not good consequences because many laws may not be provided because of the government's will. Yes. So, for example, the government, in cooperation with Solidarity, provided the law that on Sunday. Big shops, big supermarkets cannot trade. Yes, and we realize that it's thanks to this close cooperation. But now we can see that Solidarity doesn't want to push to the government to provide other pro-workers initiatives because they cooperate, you know? And for example, older workers want to retire much earlier than now. And they push to the Solidarity to push to the government, but Solidarity doesn't do everything that they could.
Mm-hmm. And I guess the other part is that Law and Justice government sometimes tries to portray itself as pro-workers, and that's how they kind of use the cooperation, right, with Solidarity Union to kind of picture themselves as caring for workers' rights. But at the end of the day, as you suggest, like, they push their own agenda. and yeah. That was very visible with the why Sundays should be free, of course, a very Christian tradition.
Yeah, I mean, there's a pattern here, but what much like of the Fire Plus child benefit program, there are, you know, we've talked about before, that there are programs that, like, you know, do benefit working class people, but at the same time are kind of wrapped up in kind of traditional conservative Catholic values. But yeah, I was sort of curious, like, how do you assess the Law and Justice government's record in terms of workers' rights, in terms of unions? Because, you know, we've seen the minimum wage go up, but you've also seen broken promises on a number of workers' rights issues, URS contracts being one example. How would you assess the government?
It's a large debate, actually, whether our government, at least on the left in Poland, whether the government is pro-people and pro-working class or against it. I would say also, I still analyze it in my job, in my research. So I would say that the Law and Justice government is very paternalist. Is it a good word? It gives some concession to the working class in terms of minimum wage and for instance social transfers, but it maintains all the power and it makes the working class dependent on the decisions of government. So, for instance, in the unions movement, we do not see much change. And in favor of pro-labor regulations that would, for instance, make our activities easier. And perhaps it's a good place to say that, for instance, our strike law and also our law on organization, on organizing trade unions and the labor inspection is really anti-labor, actually. So there is not much change in these fields, and even during COVID pandemic, there were some changes introduced that were working against working class and against unions.
And according to the OPZZ, the Social Dialogue Council, which replaced the tripartite commission for social economic affairs doesn't work properly. And the reason is that the government, as Maciej mentioned, the government doesn't want to speak to trade unions, maybe apart from the solidarity. But the government wants to provide social, less or more social laws, but alone. No, the government doesn't want to show that it's something that was given by trade unions. No, the government wants to be perceived as the only one that protects workers and takes care of them.
Taking credit for the work that workers do in order to fight for their rights.
And do you want to tell us a little bit about, like, what the biggest struggles are in terms of workers' rights in Poland? I mean, like, I know, like, zero-hours contracts, so-called, like, umowy śmieciowe, or, like, trash contract is a big one. You mentioned retirement age. What else?
Well, on the plant level, obviously the wage is always the biggest struggle, especially now in the context of high inflation. We've seen in many industries, in many companies, very militant situations, let's say, on both sides, I would say, because we have a context of very low unemployment, so trade unions are more more willing to go on even on strikes in Poland, but also the companies are very aggressive in their actions. So the struggle about the wages, and whether they will go hand in hand with inflation or not. This was particular in last half a year we've seen in many companies even strikes, but maybe Katarzyna will say more about it because the opposite that the union was very successful in this field. Other struggles, I would say, well, during COVID, obviously the safety and health issues. Also now, different issues regarding the migrant and refugee workers coming from Ukraine. But regarding workers' rights, zero hours contracts and also agency work. I would say that in our union we see this very clearly that in particular in logistics and in manufacturing, that agency work, which is highly deregulated, and many large companies like Amazon are shifting their employment towards external agencies. In that way, they are, let's say, omitting the labor code and also the trade union code. So this is a huge problem for our union.
And I would agree that the main challenge for Polish trade unions are low wages, and the OPZZ from 2018 to 2022 ran a campaign which was entitled "Poland Needs Higher Wages." And because we can see that more and more people in Poland earn minimum wage, which now is 3,100 zloty. So it's not enough to live in a big city in Poland, but also in smaller cities. So wages is the main topic, but of course we focus on fighting against short-term contracts, as you have said, that so-called umowy śmieciowe. But not only, because. Because there are many people who are self-employed, but in reality they should work for someone. Yes, so it's not true. It's false self-employed, and it's also a big problem.
Yeah, and I think it's also worth adding, especially when talking about wages, that Poland is among the more unequal countries in Europe. So 10% of the wealthiest people in Poland own 60% of all wealth. The poorest half earns only 20% of the income, whereas the top 1% earns 15% of income. So it is among the more unequal countries.
Sorry, and maybe I just add that it relates nicely to this discussion of the government, because, for instance, in my sector in the higher education and science, we see also this that wages are stagnant in recent years, and the public sector at large is really underfunded. So there is it's a kind of austerity actually what the government doing in recent years, because they are. It's austerity for the public sector workers, but also they have money for the business sector, when they want to, or for the military, but not for the nurses, not for the teachers or scientists. So this also shows what are the true interests of the government. And in the public sector, we have it really hard to fight for our rights because like in the universities, we also made the campaign last in our union, but also in cooperation with other unions. We made a campaign in and some protests in the winter, but they were totally ignored by the government, and we cannot count on any on higher salaries, I'm afraid.
And I think just to contextualize for those who do not really 3,000 zloty won't tell them a lot, it's around less than £600, right? So quite unimaginable. Obviously the costs of living are different, especially of rent, but still it's a very low minimum wage. Also, I mean, there's quite a few things I guess we should pick up on, because Maciej also mentioned like the barriers to organizing in trade unions, the law that is very kind of difficult to overcome. Is that correct?
Yeah, I mean, starting a strike, a legal strike in Poland is like almost a mission impossible. And it's really a pity that in the country of the original solidarity social movement which striked throughout Poland, now this law actually introduced already in 1991 or 1992. It is called the Law on Collective Disputes. So at first you need to start a collective dispute around some issue which is important for the workers. And then you go into the stage of mediations. Actually, there are as far as I remember, three stages. But going through all these stages depends actually mostly on the decisions of the employer. And there are no time restrictions. So in many cases, these stages are delayed. And it takes a lot of time, and the workers become tired or bored with the situation, and it's really hard to mobilize the workforce. Also, final stage, when you go to the strike, there is a stage of referendum, which is also mm-hmm. very difficult to organize and to make it valid, so to say. And then also strikes can be only organized in specific cases, in the cases of specific company. So, for instance, you cannot strike in solidarity with workers from other companies or other branches, or you cannot have political strikes against the government. So this is really prohibitive compared to other countries.
We can see that companies undermine the legality of the referendum that Maciej has mentioned, and it's very difficult to win such referendum. But even if workers win, it's not the end of the fight, because the companies undermine many of them.
It sounds like there's so many barriers, both at the state when you want to kind of get people involved into the unions in the first place and kind of set up the union, especially in like private sector, but then also later on, once you already have the union, it's so difficult to organize within. And I guess with Amazon, probably like the referendum vote, for instance, that would be very difficult if they have warehouses spread all over the country. And then you need to convince workers who don't even see each other on a daily basis to kind of vote in one referendum for the strike. So I can only imagine how difficult that is in terms of like organizing and campaigning for.
Yeah, I'd be also curious, like, what a referendum looks like, because obviously in the UK, there is a kind of minimal threshold around, like, not just how many people have to be in favor, but how many people have to take part in the vote for it to count. There's also rules against, like, voting digitally, so it has to happen, like, traditionally on paper. Like, what does it look like in Poland?
As far as I remember, and this was the case of Amazon, actually, that they went to this stage of referendum, but our union was campaigning for it. However, they didn't manage to collect this, the voices over the threshold, because I'm not sure, but as maybe Kasia will correct me, that you need to collect voices from 50% of the workforce in the whole company. So as you mentioned, especially in such distributed or dispersed companies, it's really difficult. Also, another problem is that this fact that it is constantly undermined by the companies, that workers are frightened to take part in the referendum. Now in the during autumn last year, a number of our commissions were in the collective disputes with their employers. However, these employers decided to fire the union leaders. So even though it is prohibited, this is another fact that companies can very easily fire union leaders without being, well, let's say there are some fines, but they are just silly. So this is a factor that can be frightening for many people to engage in the union movement.
I think the case of Mariusz Ławnik in mBank was one of the kind of ones that that was all over the news when he was he just announced that mBank is setting up trade union and got fired for that post. As you say, I guess there's law against that, but again, at the same time, it doesn't actually prohibit in practice the employer to do it, because there's just a fine to pay.
A huge corporation can afford to pay a fine, but yes. You know, someone on low pay and minimum wage cannot afford to lose their job or risk losing their job. So that's an issue.
And also, it's probably quite economically smart choice to then pay the fine instead of having the union within your workplace. So that's kind of a no-brainer for any management in the companies like Amazon or mBank, right?
Mm-hmm. And the reason why it's so difficult to organize a strike in Amazon in Poland is that it's difficult to organize workers to be a member of a trade union. We've got two trade unions in Amazon, Solidarity and Workers Initiative. There is no trade union that is affiliated into OPZZ, workers in Amazon, there are many workers that have short-term contracts, and it's very difficult to encourage them to join trade union. And we need to remember that to organize a strike in Poland, there must be a trade union, and at least 50% of workers generally has to join this referendum. There are so many legal obstacles.
Yeah, and that's coming into my next question. Like, when speaking to workers and trying to encourage people to join a union, like, what are the challenges you see? What are the kind of myths and misconceptions you might encounter in Poland?
There are many myths. I would say that people still, for some different reasons, associate in their minds trade unions with the, let's say, I don't know, like they think that there are some communist relics. Also that maybe that maybe they have also some memories from the transition period when some of the unions worked hand in hand with the governments that closed the industrial plants and they regulated the economy. And also some people are just afraid and they do not have this positive experience of union in their company or even of being part of such association. I can say about my personal experience in organizing in the university that it's been quite easy to start it, and because actually in the university we have quite a secure environment, so to say, but it's really difficult to persuade people to join, especially ones that are out of this progressive bubble, because people do not have this personal experience of being active, of being in some organizations, in some collectives. Some of them are just afraid that they may have problems with their supervisors when they join us. Although I would say that it's slowly changing, that when they see they see with their own eyes that we can fight and have some bring some benefits for the workers, and they also meet us in person, that they are more willing to join.
But I really was curious about like this internal kind of within the union. What are the internal structures and what is like the relationship between the kind of bureaucratic, more administrative part and the rank and file kind of workers? Because I feel like there's often, especially here in the UK, it's very visible, this tension between the union staff, people who are actually, you know, paid for working in the union, and the people who are just workers, activists, who are just organizing within the workplace and trying to negotiate both with their employer, but also the kind of administration of the union. Would you be able to speak a little bit about that?
In Workers' Initiative, we try to have quite a horizontal structure. And also we try to keep to the minimum the staff, although now due to the fact that the union is growing and there are more and more administrative and other tasks, we have a couple of people employed, but still it is a very small number. Perhaps so at least in our union there is not this tension are not really visible. We have maybe regarding structures, internal structures, another problem, but I think, it's quite common to all organizations that, like, for instance, in our commission in the university, we have this challenge to keep large part of the members active. And so it is not just that a few people or the let's say, the board of our commission is working and is organizing. So this is like a constant struggle to keep our majority of our members active. So that's how it looks like.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, that's very interesting. And are there any kind of like strategies you use to keep them active?
For instance, recently we started working groups in specific topics, and so that most of the people join some of the working groups, and we work in smaller teams. So this is one way. We also keep some. We try to keep organized not only like formal meetings, but for instance, recently we had a party and earlier on a picnic together, so that the people come and also integrate, and then perhaps it's we hope so that they will be more willing to be active members as well.
I think that our strategy is to learn from trade unions from abroad. How do they work with workers? And we visit other countries and other trade unions abroad to find out something about their strategies. For example, we visited last month. We visited Norway and Sweden, and we strongly cooperate with Germany. And I think that it's a very good way to change our trade union. Yes, to teach our trade unionists that it's possible to act differently. And I would add that Polish education don't teach people how to create how to found a trade union, how to act as a trade unionist. Do not teach them how why is it important to be a trade unionist, but mm-hmm. we were taught how to set up a company. Yes, and I think that it should start at school. Yes.
Now, in my high school, and probably many, like, I had mandatory entrepreneurship classes where you like learn how to start a business, but I don't remember having a single class about your rights as a worker. Whereas, you know, more students will end up working for companies than running one. So I think that was something that some of the parties of the left in Poland have raised to kind of include workers' rights in the curriculum.
I agree. I also see that trade unions are very, very, nobody really speaks about them. Nobody really kind of talks about this topic until maybe there's, and I guess that's why also this feeds in together, like the fact that if you have a union and if there's some successful campaign or successful strike, like the one that kind of raises awareness, even if it's not at the end, it doesn't achieve what it should, right? Like with the teachers. I remember that there was finally like a conversation about just being involved in trade unions. And I guess that's the starting point for any workplace to consider it, any people, yeah, any workers within. And also just because obviously we touched upon the fact that people have like bad associations with unions, and Maciej mentioned that during like transformation, there were so many issues there. And I know that Katarzyna dived very deeply into this by interviewing people who were hit very hardly by the transformation. Could you maybe tell us some of the takeaways from your research? If I were to translate the title of your book, it was "There used to be life here, now there's only poverty." So if you could just tell us very briefly about your research around it and your takeaways.
Yes, many people that I talked to were workers, blue-collar workers, who lost their job in 1990s, and they accused Solidarity, trade union, that they led the government and many governments to close so many companies in public sector, and I think that it's one of the reasons why do people, older people, do not trust trade unions. They are looking for you know, the reason why in 1990s there was so high unemployment rate, and the answer is, according to them, that many leaders, trade union that were trade unionists, well, they let things to look like that. And now what's interesting, because now they support right-wing parties. I talked to them about their political views, and they think, they hope that the right-wing political parties, including Law and Justice, rebuild industry in Poland. They still believe that there will be a great Poland, yes, strong Poland with strong industry.
Yeah, and Maciek also previously said that unions are kind of seen as a kind of communist relic, and definitely that's something that kind of keeps coming up on our podcast, that a lot of language associated with the kind of political left around workers' rights, worker organization, just like sounds quite Stalinist, sounds quite retro in Poland, which seems a bit weird given that, you know, there were no independent trade unions in Poland for decades. And Solidarność, even though it's often remembered as a kind of pro-capitalist or pro-democracy at least movement, was a trade union, right? And started from as a worker struggle. So I guess, like, you know, what's the kind of legacy of Solidarność, and how did it happen?
Well, I would say that, yeah, the transition from communist to capitalist economy was very harsh, very rapid, and very harsh for large part of the populace in Poland. So it was like typical neoliberal project, and also it was like a cultural project. So we now are like Katarzyna said, we are rather taught how to be entrepreneurs, and every Pole wants to be an entrepreneur rather than a worker. And also, Solidarity Movement was strongly involved in this project. Unfortunately, that its leaders, well, perhaps we would have to dig into the political history and the partisan history. But some part of the leaders of the unions were not really the working class, but they were rather the intelligentsia, the intellectuals, and. There are quite a lot of evidence and historical books on this period that actually the working class was defied and was left alone, and the leadership of Solidarity, well, Lech Wałęsa and his advisors, they were quite eager to introduce the typical neoliberal regulations, which worked against the working class, which led to very high unemployment, mass emigration, inequalities, poverty, and so on. So perhaps this is this large legacy, unfortunately. Though now it's been changing in recent years, I would say that, and there is this general picture which we talk about, but when you look at, for instance, younger generations, the view is much different, and we see that they are quite eager to either to join the unions or to support the unions. They are like in our union we have 4 or 5 youth circles, so where teenagers or students are organizing and supporting workers. I think that there is a cultural change as well in recent years here.
Well, that's great to hear. Yeah, because we've talked quite a lot about kind of defeat and challenges, but maybe let's talk about the positives a bit now. You're seeing a kind of increase in awareness and interest in unions among the young generation. Can you give any examples, if you can think of any, of any like successful strikes or major campaigns that union have led that have actually achieved positive change in recent years?
Yes, now we we see a light at the end of the tunnel, because two big strikes finished, and these strikes were organized by trade unions, which are a part of the OPZZ, and we can say that the result was quite good, and the trade unions were satisfied with the result. Yes, one company focused on building buses. Yes, and it's very popular, very famous company in Poland. It's Solaris Bus, and I think that this trade union or trade unions, because there was also solidarity, that they gave a hope to other trade unions in Poland that it's possible to win a very long-term strike, because it was it lasted almost 6 weeks, so and they won. Yes, so I think that it's one of the best example that trade union movement may win. Yes, many fights, and I think that it's important that many of trade unionists in Solaris well are younger generation. Yes, that's important.
Yeah, well, Solaris, yeah, I think it's worth adding that Solaris was also a private sector strike, as far as I understand, actually one of the largest private sector strikes in Poland in recent years, ending with a success. So hopefully that will inspire others as well.
Yes, it's a Spanish-owned manufacturer. So they do manufacture public transport vehicles, but yes, I think the fight was actually not only very long, but in terms of kind of gains, it was very successful still, because the salary rises amounted to, I think, in pounds it would be around £180, so it's like, I think the push was for 800 zloty, if I'm correct, but at the end it was 500, was it?
Yeah, it was amazing to see that, and also that this case of Solaris, because this is like also a famous company in Poland, it really made it to the mainstream media. And it was followed by the journalists as well. So, and I think many people solidarized either personally or even paid some money to support the striking workers. So it was a great case also for the union movement at large. In our workers' initiative, we participated in many successful collective disputes. We didn't put it to the stage of strike, but sometimes in the negotiations we managed to reach let's say successful outcome for the workers. So it was also a very, let's say, turbulent year, and I think when like looking for hope to put the future, it's, well, we can relate to this typical, there is this conception of Beverly Silver, analyst of workers' movement, who looks for associational power and structural power of workers. And I think in Poland in last years, we see both sources of this power, that that workers are have very, they are very powerful, they gained on their power because of the role in the economy, and in the full employment economy, and also in sustaining the economy during COVID and so on, the workers became very important. And then also there is this associational aspect, that there is this organizational work, and many people really willing to organize, to motivate people to look for new, to start new commissions in new companies. So I think this is the hope that that there are many people willing to so to say organize for the workers' movement.
And I guess what you said about this case reaching media and being widely spoken about is the important bit, because that feeds back to what we said earlier, with lack of even a lot of people just not really even considering joining a union. Cases like this are so important, right? We can now cite Solaris and be like, well, this is why you should be getting involved. This is why you actually can have like the power, collective power, if you come together with other workers. So that's very uplifting, I guess.
Yeah. We always like to end on a note of optimism. So that was very handy, because we've kind of hit an hour. So we're probably coming to an end. But I don't know if there's any kind of final reflections or anything you need to add.
Well, maybe I would just add that now it's this case of successful case are even more important now, where we have changing environment and many refugee workers coming to our country. We both my union and the one of Katarzyna, as I observe, is quite active to connect with these workers and to persuade them to either to start a union or to join our union, because we see this solidarity and also joint action as vital for this smooth integration of new workers coming to our country. And it's also quite interesting that quite often Ukrainian refugees or from other countries, they have their own experiences of being in unions in their countries, and they are quite willing to be active.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's a huge challenge for us, to encourage Ukrainian workers to join trade unions. We want them in. The OPZZ 6 years ago helped to create a trade union which were dedicated to Ukrainian workers, and for 6 years we strongly cooperate with this trade union, and now we need to focus on cooperation with this trade union even more.
Well, that's a very interesting actually example as well, but because there's so many Ukrainian workers in Poland even before the kind of escalation of this war, before the big kind of migration that happened in recent months, right? There was already a big struggle for Ukrainians' rights in Polish kind of companies.
Yeah, like around a million Ukrainians even before the recent invasion, but often on kind of short-term contracts with limited rights. And I think especially now with, there's like literally millions of Ukrainians in Poland, unions have a vital role to play to make sure there is no tensions, that workers are not being played against each other, that migration and refugees are not being blamed on low wages, for example, and a kind of shared struggle, and the experience of solidarity will be a hugely important one.
Yes, going beyond that, beyond only the workplaces, and also what we've seen here in the UK, right? Finding a scapegoat and blaming migrants for the issues, when often these are the most kind of marginalized and the worst treated groups in the workplace
And actually what undermines wages is not immigration itself, it is migrant workers having limited rights, being scared to unionize, you know, being worried that they might, if they lose their job, they might lose their rights, might get deported. Like, that really lowers wages.
And during the march and on the 1st of May, I think that was even, it was very uplifting to see representatives of Social Ruch, right, marching as well. So I can definitely, I think that was visible that there's this cooperation between Poland and Ukraine in that struggle.
The OPZZ invited a leader of trade union from Ukraine, and he came to Poland and he talked to us, and he had a speech, very moving speech about the situation in Ukraine, evidence, one of many evidences that our cooperation is very strong.
Yeah, and we also work closely with Ukrainian union social movement, and we also organized together with our friends from other countries, France, Spain, Italy, and other countries as well, a so-called workers' convoy with some key commodities, key goods to which went to from Poland to Kiev for the most needing workers over there.
Oh, we love to hear it. I think that's hugely inspiring and should be inspiring to our friends in the UK as well, you know, like internationalism and remembering about migrant workers, I think it's a very, very strong message to end on. So thank you very much for that. Got a couple of announcements to make. I mean, yeah, we finished talking about Ukraine here. One of our previous episodes talks more about Polish responses to the war in Ukraine and the refugee issue as well. So if you haven't listened yet, I would encourage you to check it out. We also definitely have episodes planned digging a bit deeper into the topics of the history of Solidarność as a workers' movement and what happened to it, the experience of transformation. I know we've touched on them today, but there's just so much more to say. So please stay tuned. There will be even more discussion on them coming up. Also, special t-shirt sales. So me and my old flatmate made a little shop selling t-shirts, saying Solidarność, I prefer their earlier work. The income we get from that goes to support organizations that help Polish women get abortions abroad. So I'll be posting a link in the show notes. Sorry, that's a little personal ad from me.
Thank you. I love the slogan.
That was a really, really interesting conversation. So thank you so much for joining us. Stay tuned and join the union if you haven't.
Join the union.
Yes.